Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was it all in their heads or was there really a ghost that liked to hang out in the kitchen?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you for listening. And if you have a real ghost story, if you wouldn't mind sharing it with us, we would like that. Call it in at 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Be a premium subscriber if you want. No commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon, how's it going today?
Well, it's going really well. I was thinking that maybe we should let everybody in on what we did when you were on vacation up here in Oregon. We did a little...
We went to the Y?
Yeah, no. We went to the Y. You worked out while I swam, you know.
No, we took a little ghost trip up the coast.
We went up the coast. Beautiful drive.
Oh my God, it was gorgeous. Right? Yes.
Gorgeous. Right up the... I guess it's the 101, right? And went to Astoria. Now, I think the locals refer to it sometimes as Ghost Astoria.
Because
there
it's pretty
seems
haunted.
To be a lot of activity.
And from what we gathered, the city, which is really unusual because it's, you know, so far west. It's all the way west. It's right there. But it was established in like 1812.
I think it said 1814?
Yeah, it was right around 1812 because I remember you saying something about the War of 1812.
Yeah, I think I said it's 2 years. That's just 2 years after the War of 1812, yeah. Which is like crazy to me. But it was like, I think what they said, and you guys all correct me if I'm wrong, because you will, and that's okay, is that it was the first city like in that air, like in the Northwest, right? I think there was maybe Los Angeles and stuff down south, don't you?
I have no idea.
I think so, because I think the missions started down there, right? But I think that maybe up in the Northwest Pacific area, it was like the first town. And it is crazy interesting. It's worth going to Astoria for many reasons, I think. One is that the town itself just looks unique, and it has this crazy bridge that goes across, and if you drive across it, and across it and across it and across it, because it goes for a really long time, you end up in the state of Washington. So that's how far north in Oregon.
So we did it just so to say that I went to Washington.
Right. We just were like, we go to Washington State today. But we also, the town itself is just fascinating, and it has some really old buildings there.
Mm-hmm.
There are some really old structures. And we toured the Flavel House.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really worth it. Didn't you?
Oh, yeah. That was really cool.
While I was there, you go up the stairs, and it kind of just surprised me that the whole house had these massively tall ceilings, like crazy tall. And then you go upstairs, and they're still crazy tall in the upstairs and big wide hallways, you know. But they were one of the first families there and wealthy and so forth. But in there, I went into the man that built the house, into his bedroom. And, you know, it's all period with the furniture and all the stuff there. And I did get I did have a jolt there.
And I did in another room.
And that room that you felt it was right beside, on the other, just the adjoining wall of where I felt it.
It was kind of like I don't know if it was used as a nursery or a kid's playroom. They had it set up as a kid's playroom. Now what it was back then, I'm not sure. But you know what? I'm looking up the oldest towns. And San Jose, California was established in 1777.
Okay.
And then and San Francisco's really old. Mm-hmm. Monterey, California. Old Town, San Diego. And then Astoria.
Okay.
So it's like the sixth one. Yeah.
So it really is the first town in like the Pacific Northwest.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, and it had, and so then we did that. I thought it was great. I highly recommend that tour. And then we also had the best fajitas for dinner ever. I got to tell you, it was a terrific Mexican
restaurant. I don't remember the name of the place. I wish I did. I'd give them a shout out because dang.
We'll try to find out.
Yeah, that was the best fajitas I've ever had in my life.
Totally. I agree.
100%. And we're vegetarian, so all we want is some sauteed vegetables to put in tortillas.
And you guys, it was absolutely, the food was to die for. The guac was to die for. Everything was great. Anyway, but that night we go to a tour of kind of the haunted underground. And today it's a butcher's shop. And then you
which
go
for
down.
A couple of non-meat eaters was a really weird
was
place to start.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting for us. But we go down into the basement, and then you walk around in these, they're like kind of tunnels, really, right?
It was super creepy. It was,
and I think those tunnels could expand and you could go way far. We just kind of did a little swoop around under this building.
And in fact, we went more than one building. So we were underneath that building. It might have gone, we went at least one over. Because you could tell they have these stones in the sidewalks to let in light because people lived down there.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you know, a lot of the immigrants came in and they lived there. So they put these in. And so I could see where those were. So we were at least two buildings.
Yeah.
Maybe three.
And I didn't have anything like paranormal happen to me there, but the creepy factor was there. I felt creeped out because I think partially sometimes when I'm on a tour itself, I think there's just so many people that I don't necessarily feel like.
Agreed.
Does it make sense that maybe it has a hard time because there's so much activity and people are talking and it kind of, and you know, people, because you're frightened, you do things like laugh, right? And make a joke.
It doesn't help that your daughter-in-law would be like,
She was so funny.
Nope.
She was absolutely hilarious. And then you would laugh and it kind of breaks it. And I think had I gone downstairs by myself or with another one or two people, I think I might have had something happen.
There was one area where I definitely, it's where they said it was Adam's room. I think his name was
like
Adam.
Like maybe a photographer's black room.
Yeah, that gave me the creeps. Dark room. That gave me the creeps. Mm-hmm. And my heart was racing, and that's my tell. But she's also telling a creepy story, and she had set it up in a creepy way. So I'm like, you know, because of what she just said, is that why I'm feeling creeped out? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it was a great tour. I want to set up an interview with her. I got her number to do an episode on the Grave Talks about Astoria, because it's a really interesting city. And
yeah,
and just the architecture and the bay right there.
And then we went over to the hotel, which is supposedly haunted too. The Hotel Elliott?
Yeah.
Does that sound like it? And just went into the little bar area and had a drink there. And then they had a bunch of pictures and old newspaper articles and stuff that were up on the wall, so we could kind of get a feel for the history of that place. But apparently that's pretty haunted. That would be, I think, a fun place to go stay. And then that's just like catty corner from the Liberty Theater, which has supposedly got a lot of activity. So I think I just highly recommend, guys, if you want a fun vacation, you want to do a little paranormal treks while you're out, come out here to Oregon, to the coast, and it's beautiful. You know, there's all kinds of hiking and the ocean is beautiful and all that kind of stuff. But you can do it in Astoria. You can do some of that. And I think probably I'm going to do a little bit more investigations, but I kind of think there's quite a few places around here that we could go to and visit that will have some activity. So
it was funny when we were leaving the ghost tour, there was another group waiting outside the butcher shop, which was still so weird. But they're waiting outside and there's two boys and a dad. And the boys were like, was it creepy? I'm like, it's creepy.
And, it was creepy. And totally.
He's like, where do you go? And I go, you go down below where we're standing right now. Is it dark? It's very dark.
It was very dark.
Like they had some red lights down there, you know, so there was some lighting. So, you know, you weren't going to fall, but it was very dark. And those
and it
kids
was set
and
up
his
to be
dad
because there was a couple
so
clowns,
excited.
You know, and stuff.
Oh my God.
So, you know, there were a few things like that, but I have to say, if I went downstairs and I was just like had to walk through there by myself or whatever, I don't think I'd be surprised if I did have something happen.
I have zero doubts that place is haunted. Zero doubts.
Yeah.
It was just creepy.
And I just think if you walked up and down that really adorable downtown area, because there it is, people, the cute shops, there's a record store, you know, like fun things. And you walked in there and somebody is working in there wherever you went, whether it's the little bar or if it's the little clothing store or whatever. And you just say to somebody, anything ever happened here like paranormal? I think they would tell you stories.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I think that whole town, like you drive through it and you go, wow, that house is crazy old.
Yeah.
You know? And you look at it and you go, yeah, that house is haunted AF, you know? And I think it's wonderful. We had the best day.
It was really, a fun little trip.
So I highly recommend.
I was glad that Brittany drove there because that's the kind of driving I don't enjoy. Two lanes that are like, wee, 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 wee.
It really, you know, for mountain on one side and Pacific Ocean on the other.
Yeah.
You know.
And then at night, I'm just sure a Sasquatch or something's going to come out. And
definitely.
I'm like, hopefully no flat tires because we will all die. Bah,
yeah,
bah,
yeah.
Bah.
It's just that's what will happen. Sasquatch.
Well, let's do this story about a kitchen ghost. So it says, I've always been on the fence about sharing this story, but here goes nothing. My mom always told me these wild ghost tales about the house I grew up in, and I never quite believed her till the day I saw a few strange things for myself. We used to call whatever was in our house the kitchen ghost. That kind of sounds so friendly, though, if it hangs out in the kitchen. Doesn't it sound friendly?
It does.
The basement ghost, attic ghost, no, but the kitchen ghost. Because for some reason it favored making a grand entrance right by the cabinets, fridge, and those creaky old doors that led outside. Even though this all happened years ago, the memories are still as clear as day. Before I dive in, let me explain my family dynamic. My mom and I are pretty open to the idea of the paranormal. I wouldn't say we go out hunting ghosts or anything like that, but we both get this weird sense sometimes, like a chill in the air or a tingle at the back of the neck. Also, another tell, I'm just saying, that tingle at the back of your neck.
Absolutely.
My dad, on the other hand, was a complete skeptic. He was the type who had a rational explanation for everything. If the windows rattled, he'd blame a passing truck. If lights flickered, he'd say, the electrical wiring needs work. That was just how he was, which is why it was so surprising when he finally admitted that maybe, just maybe, something unexplained was going on in our kitchen. We had two dogs back then, a tiny Chihuahua named Pepe and a big, lovable lab named Rex. Pepe was a little nervous, would bark at anything, while Rex was calm, cool, and collected, happy to let life pass by with minimal fuss. These two were always underfoot in the kitchen, hoping someone would drop a scrap or open the fridge for a snack. One particular evening, my parents were sitting at the kitchen table writing out a grocery list. An old-fashioned term, excuse me.
Writing out.
Which wasn't unusual at all. The two dogs, though, were acting weird. They were pacing in circles and pawing at the door, clearly needing to go outside. Dad sighed, put down his pen, and started to push his chair back to let them out. That's when the strangest thing happened. The door leading from the kitchen to our mudroom just drifted open on its own. This door was heavy and always squeaked so loudly that you could hear it from upstairs. But it opened smoothly that night. No squeak, no hesitation. It was as if someone had turned the knob and pushed it open, except nobody was there. The dogs wasted no time. They raced into the mudroom, presumably to get out the back door to our yard. But guess what? The back door, an old rickety screen door that nobody liked because it never stayed latched properly, also swung open by itself. I remember my dad just sitting there with his mouth open. I think he was going to say something along the lines of, must be the wind, except there wasn't a breeze that night, and both doors moved so deliberately like they'd been opened on purpose. So the dogs ran outside, tails wagging, and then bang, both doors slammed shut. Dad was frozen for a second, and for the first time, I saw genuine confusion in his eyes. He was trying to figure out how to rationalize it. When he finally spoke, he mumbled something like, the hinges must be out of alignment. Which even I knew sounded ridiculous. Mom just gave him this look like, see, I've been telling you, this stuff happens. A little while later, the dogs were done with their business. They wanted back in. By this point, Dad was standing by the kitchen table, clearly on high alert. He walked over to the door, but before he could even grab the handle, the door swung open again, all by itself, just as gently as before. The dogs trotted inside, wagging their tails, and then the door slammed shut behind them as if someone had given it a hard push. That was it for Dad. He went pale. Then he calmly walked back to the kitchen table, didn't say another word about it. From that day on, whenever Mom or I mentioned the kitchen ghost, Dad would change the subject. It was like he had seen enough to know something weird was going on, but refused to deal with it. Over the next few years, I had my own experiences. Often I'd be in the kitchen after school, making myself a snack, and I'd notice a cabinet door slowly creak open on its own. Or I'd hear the fridge door click like it was being opened, only to find it closed and locked tight when I walked over. These incidents were never hostile or particularly scary, just odd. I got used to them, and honestly, so did Mom. Things took a turn around the time I was 12. We rescued two stray cats, a lanky orange tabby named Milo, and a feisty black cat named Luna. They were a handful at first, but they quickly made themselves at home, strutting around as if they owned the place. Almost immediately after the cats arrived, the kitchen incidents stopped. No more doors opening on their own. No more unexplained fridge rattling. It was as if the presence, whatever or whoever it was, had decided it didn't care for cats and moved on. Mom and I joked that maybe cats have some protective energy about them that wards off ghosts. Dad insisted that it was just a coincidence, but I couldn't help but wonder if Milo and Luna had driven the ghost away for good. Honestly, a part of me missed the excitement. As creepy as those little happenings could be, they also gave our home a kind of mystery that I found strangely comforting. The silence in the kitchen felt new and empty. While it was nice not to have doors slamming or cupboards creaking in the middle of the night, there was a sense of loss, like we'd been sharing our home with some invisible roommate who had now moved out. To this day, I still don't have a rational explanation for what happened in our kitchen all those years ago. If you ask me, I'd say there's more to this world than what we can see and measure. My mom would wholeheartedly agree, but I'm sure Dad would find some way to roll his eyes and shrug it off. Still, he never did forget that night the doors opened on their own, no matter how many times he tried to pretend it didn't happen. So that's the kitchen ghost story. Might sound bizarre, but it's where I grew up. Ever since then, I've been open to the idea that sometimes, just maybe, the unexplainable is out there knocking on our doors or opening them all by themselves. So that is interesting that they had like pretty profound experiences, especially that night with the dogs.
You know, I agree. Because I could, you know, I think we could come up with reasons if it was just one of the doors. I find it weird that it was both the inside door and the outside door.
Mm-hmm.
And they were happening when they needed to open. Like the dogs go running out and then the back door opens. Like that's, you know, very strange to me. One time I was at home and I had a garage that had a door that entered into the kitchen. So, you know, you have the regular garage door open, you go in the house, shut the garage door, and then you go into the kitchen or whatever. And one time I was in the kitchen and the garage door just very slowly opens. It threw me. But I decided, yeah. But it was very windy that night. And so I decided that probably the wind was kind of coming in under the garage door, the big garage door, and it just blew that door open. It probably wasn't latched all the way and it just kind of pushed it open. And it only happened that one time. So, you know, I did that. This seemed oddly like it opened when it was supposed to open for the dogs. It closed when it was supposed to close. The other door opened and let them out. Then they came. You know what? I mean, it was just too weirdly a weird coincidence.
But what do you think about the theory of the cats coming along? Because that is, I don't find that coincidental. Cats come along and the activity stopped.
I do.
You think it's coincidental?
I do.
I think the ghost just wasn't a cat person ghost.
It seemed to like the dogs. Yeah. Because it wanted the dogs to go out and everything. But I don't think, you know, spirits dislike cats or like cats or whatever. I just think that something occurred and the spirit moved on. I don't think it was the cats. I think cats are great. And I don't think that.
Come on, like cats have a superpower. Look at my cats.
They do have superpowers, but I think they would just cohabitate with a spirit. I don't see a particular reason for a spirit to leave because of a cat. I just think that probably something occurred and it just moved on.
Or maybe the ghost was like, okay, in this kitchen, there's mom, dad, there's the kid, there's two dogs, and now two cats. I've had enough. There's too many. I am too crowded in this space.
I'm just going to say that, you know, who knows how long it was before they noticed that nothing had happened for a while. Because you always have something. And it might have been a month later or 2 months later or something. I don't know. I just can't help but feel that maybe the spirit was called home or something, you know, that I just kind of feel like it moved on. Because Milo and Luna, I'm sure they're great. I just don't think that that would be...
Not enough to scare him off.
I don't think so.
It was going to leave anyway. Time was... And you're right. You know, because like when we lived in that house as a kid, I think I would feel it every day, but I think I just had my guard up so much. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like every single day something paranormal happened. Now, in my memory, looking back, it was like that, but I don't think it was.
Yeah, I think
it was a lot of,
you know,
to
have something big happen or whatever. I don't know. I just feel like maybe the timing was more coincidental. Now, you could disagree with me on that, but, you know, I would be surprised that
you don't think the kitchen just got too crowded.
No, I don't.
Okay, well, let's go to a phone call. Here you go.
This isn't really a scary story, but I thought you might be interested in it. Give you a little bit of background. I grew up in a very non-religious family, but my father was very open-minded, very inquisitive about what happens after you die. So we had a lot of discussions about it growing up. It was you know, something I really enjoyed to talk to him about. But anyways, he was an aerospace engineer, a really smart guy, really, really nice guy, and didn't have a mean bone in his body, just very kind soul. But he fell into alcoholism towards the end of his life. He ended up dying at about 54 years of age. But at the time, because of his alcoholism, my sisters and my mom didn't talk to him anymore, but I would call him, you know, every week just to talk and catch up and see where he's going. And he ended up telling me that he didn't want to live anymore. And a week later, he passed away. Anyways, my grandma called me and told me he passed away. So my girlfriend at the time, we went down to his funeral, said some nice things about him. And I wasn't really grieving because I knew he was suffering. And I was just happy to not see him in that state anymore. I get back home. At the time, I was working some, like, mid-shifts at work. So I was working, like, 10 to 8 or 10 to 9 or something like that. And I would go to the gym in the morning. And my girlfriend at the time was working kind of opposite shifts. And came into the apartment, walked into the room, and I saw this, like, column of, looked like incense smoke, about the size of a human, in the bedroom. And I rubbed my eyes. I looked at it again. I was like, I was like, wow, I have to get my eyes checked. Maybe I'm getting old. Maybe my eyes are failing me. And I didn't think anything more of it. The next day, same thing happens, but in the living room. I walk into the house. I'm by myself. I see this like column of smoke in the living room, and I'm looking at it. I was like, wow, I really need to get my eyes checked. This keeps happening for about like 3 or 4 more days. I keep seeing this like column of incense smoke in the house. And, you know, my girlfriend used to burn incense. So I'd like smell and be like, well, it doesn't smell like incense. And my girlfriend's not home, so that's kind of weird. So I come home one night from work around 10, and my girlfriend at the time gets off around the same time that night, and she starts cooking dinner, and she's in the kitchen, and I'm sitting at the kitchen table. The kitchen table has a view of the living room. There's a blockage where she's cooking, and we're just talking about our days, like, how was your day? Oh, good. You know, good. How was your day? Great. You know, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And I see this column of smoke again in the living room. So I kind of trail off on what I'm saying. You know, my day is great, but I just get. And she says, are you looking at something? I was like, oh, no, no, it's nothing. It's nothing. She's like, are you looking at the smoke? And I was like, yeah, I am. She's like, I've been seeing it too. It's your dad. So we both walk up right to this column of this incense-looking smoke and say, Dad, is that you? and it just sat there and then kind of dissipated and disappeared. After that, I never saw it again. And I even talked to like my mom and my sisters, my grandma, asking them if they ever saw anything like that. And I said no. But I think it was just my dad coming back to say, yeah, there is something here after you go. There is something after you die, which kind of answered the question of what we talked about, you know, all throughout our whole lives. And it was a beautiful thing. So anyway, just wanted to share that story with you. And all right, that's it. All right, have a good day. Bye.
Don't you think that was his dad?
Well, I do. And I have to tell you, Carol, like listening to him talk about his dad, all I could think was, you could be talking about my dad.
Our dad, yeah. Because
my dad was very similar. He was fascinated in the afterlife. And he would talk a lot about that.
Mm-hmm.
And what might happen afterwards and what he believed. And then he kept saying, and he's a really great guy, a really nice guy. I loved him a lot, but, you know, he had his demons and he fell into alcohol. My dad did the same thing.
Yeah.
And he died when he was 54. Well, my dad was 56. 50. But, you know, I was like, he was 58, yeah.
And, you know, it was interesting.
I was just like, oh.
Because he said in there, too, another thing that really resonated with me was that he said he did find some peace because his dad wasn't suffering anymore. Uh-huh. And for us, I wanted my dad back in the deepest way, but that was not possible. Even if our dad would have lived, it wouldn't have been the life he wanted. Mm-hmm. So it was like, because of that, knowing that there was no other way, then I guess I came to terms with that. It was really hard to, but so I got that sentiment as well. You know, it's like, at least he's not suffering.
That, and, you know, our dad also made a very conscious decision not to seek treatment. Mm-hmm. He had cancer, and he made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was something that, you know, believe you me, I tried to talk him out of it numerous times, many, many times. And he just, at some point, you just have to respect it.
And he didn't tell us for a long time. You know, he'd been dealing with it.
And I think that was one of his ways of not having treatment, was it was too far along,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of stuff. But all of this is, you know, just interesting side stuff about our family. But I really, when he was talking about it, I thought, I know this person you're talking about very mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
And I think that absolutely was him. He was that kind of soul that would come back and say that to you. I think it was a combination of, yes, there is something, and I'm saying goodbye. He needed it, and I think it happened several days because he was just waiting for the acknowledgement.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking too, because he was kind of like, oh, I'm losing my mind. What is that? And then mm-hmm. when he acknowledged it, that's all his dad needed. Like, hey, yeah. I'm trying to show you that, give you that sign, and you're not picking up on it. Aha, you just did.
Yeah.
That's what he wanted.
And you know, to kind of to say goodbye, and then he was free to go on.
Yeah.
You know. But I know that guy, and he's a great guy. And you were, even though I know at times it was really hard, you were still lucky to have him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And don't you think very fortunate to get that kind of confirmation from his
Absolutely.
Dad? I just think that's quite,
you know,
beautiful.
He was lucky that he said his girlfriend at the time was able to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And he might not have acknowledged it, or he might have taken longer. I don't know. But because she saw it, then it was like, well, hell, this is real.
And maybe so she didn't say anything because he didn't say anything.
If she seemed to be sure it was his dad. So here's the thing. You know, it's a little touchy, somebody that just lost their father, to walk up to him and say, hey, I've been seeing your father around the house in form of smoke. You know, she probably was kind of waiting for a sign from the boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
before she confirmed it, because it would be, you know, creepy if he wasn't seeing it and she was. And, you know, how would you feel? Like, I can't see it. You can see my dad and I can't see my dad, you know. So I think she played it right, too.
That's so interesting. I think it's a beautiful story. Just one of those where, you know, it's kind of beyond the grave and they can communicate and be like, hey, I made it. Oh, yeah. Got me in the heart. So if you have a real ghost story, you know how we love to hear them. Call it in at 855-853-4802. You can write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com and be a premium subscriber if you want to. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, all without commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you so much for listening.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you, and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. 5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.